A long-standing relationship in crisis. The French and German leaders meet as they disagree on the war in Ukraine, defense and energy policies. What sort of fallout could there be if the EU's two biggest economies can't find common ground? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Derin Abugaida. The relationship between Germany and France is often described as the motor that drives the European Union. The bloc's two biggest economies work closely together to shape policies that affect the rest of the continent, but their alliance is under strain. Germany's chancellor and France's president have held talks to resolve their differences. They've clashed on European positions on energy, defense, and the war in Ukraine. A yearly meeting between French and German ministers was postponed at the last minute. And other EU members, including Poland and Latvia, have accused Berlin of not acting in the bloc's common interest. France's leader had this to say at an EU summit in Brussels last week.
I think it's not good for a country to isolate itself. And so I think our role is to do everything for European unity and for Germany to be part of it. And so I really hope that we can find these paths of convergence. But we are moving forward and we will continue to do so.
We'll bring in our guests in a moment, but first here is Hashem Ahelbara reporting from Paris.
The meeting is more of an attempt to portray a sense of unity between the two leaders of the EU, French President Emmanuel Macron and the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. One of the differences is about a cap on energy prices. France has been moving forward towards imposing a cap to try to rein in the soaring prices that have been rattling the economy in the European continent. And Germany has been saying, no, we have to wait and opt instead for moving forward as a single voice and try to buy natural gas at a lower price. Germany is putting this $100 billion special fund to modernize its military. The French initially welcomed the move, but then they were frustrated when they saw the Germans announcing that they're going to buy F-35 fighter jets from the Americans and also an anti-missile, anti-air system, basically a combination of German, Israeli and American systems. Now, the German Chancellor is going to travel to China to meet with the Chinese Premier next month. The French were hoping to be able to be part of that trip to tell the Chinese that while they are willing to do business with them, that they have to understand that EU is pretty much concerned about what it describes as a growing political and economic influence of China globally. The Germans decided ultimately to go on their own because they said that they have a wide range of issues to do and tackle with the Chinese. This was seen as somehow an act of betrayal by the Germans, and this explains why the French remain pretty much concerned. They say that this is the moment when the Germans, the French, should come together, send a strong signal to the international community that while there is a war in the continent, there is inflation, there are soaring prices of energy, we're still united, and whatever decision we're going to take in the future, it is going to be basically to maintain the unity among the different countries of the European Union.
So as you've been hearing, tension between the two countries has been building for several months now. Let's take a closer look at their biggest sticking points. Firstly, Germany's coalition government is no longer keeping to former Chancellor Angela Merkel's policy on arms exports. It's been slow to provide heavy military equipment to Ukraine. On energy, Germany is against imposing a cap on gas prices that France wants. It also wants Paris to authorize a new pipeline to carry gas and later on green hydrogen from Spain, but France has refused. And some countries say Berlin is being irresponsible by pouring billions of dollars into its own economy. That criticism comes after it offered $200 billion in state aid to German businesses and households to get them through the energy crisis. Let's now bring in our guest. Joining us from Brussels is Peter Kleppe, who's the editor of BrusselsReport.eu. That's a news website on EU matters. In Magdeburg, Germany, is Eva Heidebrider, professor of multi-level governance in Europe at Otto von Guericke University of Magdeburg. And in Brussels is Julien Hoets, who's a European policy specialist and member of Renaissance. That's a French governing party. Welcome to you all. Thanks so much for your time with us on Inside Story. Eva, over to you first. Is this a relationship in crisis?
I'm not sure if we're really heading for a deep crisis. What we know of what makes the German-French relationship so important for the EU overall is that German and French positions are often quite far apart. But if Germany and France manages to resolve their problems, it is usually deals that many other EU member states can also stand behind because they come from different ends. Now, what is different maybe this time? The level of stress and pressure is extremely high, and it works a bit as a catalyst to pre-existing tensions. And you already mentioned defense issues, how to invest in what in defense, and also the internal treatment of energy, the internal energy markets and internal energy policies have fundamental differences. And those two differences are really emphasized by the crisis at the moment. Plus, I think that is a crucial turn, crucial point in all of that. There are fundamental differences between Berlin and Paris, but long-standing differences on how to manage EU fiscal policy and how to finance things. And all these things come together in resolving these problems now. And I wouldn't be too skeptical that these points cannot be overcome, but it's a long way. And it is really exceptional that these meetings, these ministerial meetings, have been cancelled, and it's not going very smoothly.
Right.
Great part of it to do with that. But I would generally say stay positive and say it's hard work.
Okay, you've raised a number of issues, and we're certainly going to drill down into some of the reasons the relationship appears to be fractious in just a moment. But first, let me go over to Julien, because one of the leading French newspapers, Julien, in an editorial described the Franco-German relations as glacial. Is that an assessment you agree with?
We need to frame everything in the fact that media outlets are frequently trying to get more viewers, so they tend to maybe hype things up a little bit, especially when it comes to crises like this. But we have to be honest that there is a very serious problem with the Franco-German relationship right now, because not only have we got the German government going solo when it comes to energy policy now and ignoring the ability to work with the French and other EU states, annoying everybody, not only do we have the German government now pushing for China to purchase key infrastructure in the dock of Hamburg, and not only do we have the snub from the meeting last week, the summit, which is very important and happens every year, but recently we've had a string of events where the German government, most likely due to internal wrangling and trying to solidify its own position at home, has been snubbing the French government in several ways. Last month, there was a supposed meeting between Elisabeth Borne, the Prime Minister, and Olaf Scholz, which was first cancelled, then a video conference was cancelled afterwards because Scholz was too sick to attend. And then a few hours after this, the Olaf Scholz appeared in a video at the press conference, whether that was done at the time or not, where he announced this 200 billion euro energy relief package that he had discussed with absolutely nobody. So there seems to be a lot of freewheeling, irresponsibly in many ways, by the German government, which is rubbing Paris the wrong way. And this is a problem at a time of geopolitical crisis, when we have crises in Ukraine, Iran, Afghanistan, and many other places where we need this solidarity.
Okay, let's bring in Peter. Give us your thoughts on why this could be happening now and whether you agree with what Julien had to say, describing German behavior as, quote, irresponsible.
Well, I do think that we see indeed a change, and the explanation is relatively simple. It is that Germany is becoming a normal country it does no longer feel the need to make certain concessions because of its World War II guilt, basically, to the extent that it used to make these concessions. However, that said, I think if you look at what both sides are annoyed about, you know, the solution is not necessarily so complicated. To sum up, I think the solution is to try to remain within the spirit of European cooperation. And if you, for example, look at the 200 billion relief package, mass spending by the German government to help its companies, I mean, clearly this is not in line with the single market, with fair competition. So I think the French definitely have a point. On the other hand, when France is asking for price regulation and Germany warning that if you regulate the prices of gas, you may end up with no gas, I think there, to look at it from the European spirit and the market mechanism, Germany is more on the right side of affairs. Also, when it comes to this gas pipeline that Germany would be keen on between, you know, Spain and Germany, probably also France could rethink its opposition. So these differences can definitely be bridged, but it basically entails Germany to understand that it is fine to pursue its own self-interest, but it is in the self-interest of Germany to stick to the original spirit of European cooperation and to the fundamentals of the single market.
Okay, let's drill down now into some of the specifics. You've all mentioned them, but I'd like to focus on defense to begin with. So, Eva, the defense strategy, as we've been saying, is one issue. Commentators over in France have said that the way that Berlin has chosen to go down its own way rather than find an accord with Paris, for example, when it comes to buying F-35 fighter jets from the United States. Why would this alarm France, Eva?
Well, the big term, which was also central for France's presidency of the rotating EU presidency in the beginning of this year, in the first half, was European sovereignty, to establish defense capacities that give Europe an autonomous leeway, that based on armies that are not very capable, actually. So the 100 billion in Germany are money to fill gaps. We have been just shifting material from one part to another part of the army to keep different parts operational, but then always ending up with other parts not being operational. The gaps are big, and this money is not even money that will be a permanent budget. So the German army really needs much, much more money. In order to overcome these huge gaps immediately, the approach is this time to buy it from Iraq, not to develop in that. And this causes a lot of irritation for more sustainable Europe-based defense capacity building,
right,
on the French side. That is the background. And let me just add, a lot of this, I think, has to do with internal struggles of the German governing coalition to come to terms with a hype of problems. And that explains a lot. Not only, as Peter said, that Germany has become an abnormal country, we see it in defense and in other fields in different ways, which also, as Peter said, takes the German government longer to understand.
Right. And so, Julian, that is something that you brought up a moment ago, that this could have something to do with Germany's domestic politics, the differences that we are now witnessing between Germany and France. Julian, but let me ask you about this issue of a cap on gas prices, which Germany is against and France wants. How big is the difference there, and how do you narrow the difference?
I mean, like everything, like Peter just said and like Eva just said, it's going to be a question of actually these countries cooperating. France needs to cooperate with Germany, and Germany needs to cooperate with France. But as Eva just reiterated, the German coalition right now is currently in the middle of a conflict internally where the Greens don't want to follow the FDP line, the FDP line doesn't want to work with the SPD's line, and the SPD don't want to listen to the Greens either. So you have an issue, particularly when it comes to nuclear power, and this is impacting the prices. But just to go back to what Eva just said about the defense, It's true that, for example, when he announced the 100 million in defense, I believe I saw analysis that said that half of that was going to be spent on just replenishing rotted munitions for the armaments of the German military. But I don't think that that's the only thing. There's also been a series of issues where Germany decided to end work on the Franco-German Tiger helicopter, which was going to be a key part of both countries' air force and a European Air Force. They've cancelled joint Navy patrols. And by signing the air defense shield with, I think it was 13 NATO states, and
yeah,
not including
13.
France.
That's right. NATO members, yeah.
Yes. This is a problem because normally, and it's strange because normally we see France being accused of going rogue and doing things about its German partner. But now we're seeing the German state is, for whatever reason, trying to move away from the Franco-German engine, which is neither good or bad if it's done in the right way and it includes everybody. But it's a problem for the Franco-German relationship.
Okay. And on the issue of the energy crisis, of course, largely as a result of the Ukraine war, Peter, Germany's decision to offer €200 billion in state aid to businesses and households to get them through that energy crisis, this was seen as a betrayal by France. Is Germany right to go at this alone, though?
No, as I mentioned, I think it's not very hard to see this as a violation of fair competition within the European Union. Subsidies are banned. And, you know, if you're talking about such a massive support program, it's hard to argue that this is merely supporting businesses in a reasonable manner. This goes way beyond. Certainly, when you have the same government that still has not decided to keep its nuclear power stations open. I mean, if you're in the middle of the energy crisis, it's just surprising to see that anybody could still argue in favor of shutting down perfectly functional nuclear plants. And you can say of France what you want, and the French government has not always pursued perfect policies. But when it comes to energy, when it comes to geostrategy, to defense, France has always been a very responsible government. And I think Germany on those areas should probably learn from France. It can, of course, make its own decisions, but like the decision to now sell off part of the port of Hamburg to a conglomerate that is controlled by the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, this is also very puzzling, especially if you look at the situation that Germany is in after it had made itself way too dependent of Russian gas, not only because it's shutting down nuclear, but also because it has reduced investment in domestic fossil fuels. You know, it's one thing to shut down fossil fuel production. It's another thing to start with shutting down European fossil fuel production. You would expect to first reduce non-European fossil fuels import before you shut down your own fossil fuel production. So I think Germany can really learn a lot from the French government
Peter,
in those areas.
Peter, you were mentioning China just a moment ago. I'll just stick with you on this one question, because there is also the issue of China. And the German chancellor does have a plan to travel to China reportedly alone next month without European partners. How is that being viewed, do you think, not only in France, but in Europe, other countries in Europe?
Well, this is, of course, confirming the analysis that after having made itself too dependent on Russia, Germany is repeating the same mistake with China. I mean, I'm personally willing to forgive Germany a little bit on that. I think the relationship with China is simply very, very complex. I mean, do we stop all trade with China? That's not a good idea. Do we become way too dependent on China? That's obviously also not a good idea. So, frankly, I think some kind of a middle ground will have to be found. And the fact that Germany has now decided to go on its own, well, it could, for example, correct that by organizing yet another mission with other European partners at a later stage. So it's possible to mend this. But to get it right with China, I think it's not easy.
Okay. Julian, how will allies be looking at all of this? Will they be rattled by these divisions?
Well, I think non-European allies may just believe that this is a speed bump and that things will get back on track, and we'll be hoping that things do get back on track, because, I mean, on military matters, we need to be coordinated. on energy matters, we definitely need to be coordinated, as it reduces our possibility of being blackmailed by rogue states like the Russian state. But just to go back to the point on China very quickly, this is becoming a problem because across the EU, a lot of states are asking themselves, why on earth is Germany going on its own to China to meet Xi Jinping, as if they're rushing to be the first person to go and see the new leader in China. When, for example, when the European Commission was making trips to China, they obviously did a big effort to get everybody involved. When France was organizing trips to go to China to visit, they brought along European leaders as well. And Germany seems to be bucking this trend purely because of, I mean, I'm not sure if Eva or Peter will agree with me, but pure self-interest. They're trying to position themselves rather than positioning the European Union.
Okay, let me bring in Eva at this point. Let me bring in Eva on this point. And not just particularly on China, Eva, but if we can, just for the sake of time, if we can talk about moving forward, how does trust begin to get repaired between the two leaders of France and Germany? And looking ahead also, Eva, do you think this is going to be lead to some sort of redefinition or a reset of Franco-German relations?
Well, first, I think Germany won't be able to solve any of those problems, not in energy, not in defense, and international relations without a strong European element. And I think energy has been a national policy. There's high pressure on it, and we are at the beginning of a very hard negotiation and process. And we're coming from very different sides. Germany set on the natural gas card to get a green transition. This won't work anymore. And it's there in all the points about nuclear energy that have been said. Germany has a long history of getting out of nuclear energy and back in. The national price of getting back in is extremely high, and it's complicated. China is a big issue in Germany. This deal with a port, it is a government intervention, and it's Scholz personally who has been pushed by six ministers who are against selling, and strong opposition to reduce the share that China is buying to 25% so that they don't have a blocking minority there. And there's other European ports that have sold parts of it, big ports. So on all these issues, we need EU coordination.
And France then, Eva, have the political will to reassure their European allies that they still are the driving force behind the EU?
I'm not sure if that is the immediate signal and that will work. But I'm quite positive there will be, as Peter said, learning and understanding that without the cooperation it won't work. And maybe it's still a bit too early for Germany to say we will do it through EU budget, but I don't see for resolving certain issues a way around it.
Okay, let me bring in Peter. Final word to you, Peter. We have about a minute left on the program. Are European allies going to be reassured in any way going forward?
Well, when you're talking about, repairing the relationship, I think we just need to go back to the original spirit of European cooperation. One of the things France is pushing for together with Italy is extra European debt. I mean, I don't think that's a solution now. You typically see that this undermines unity. Transfers cause big tensions and discussions. So I would definitely avoid that now.
Julian, final word to you. How do you see this playing out?
I mean, I think like a lot of the issues that encountered the Franco-German pair, particularly when it was Merkel and Sarkozy or Chirac, I believe, or even Hollande, there are going to be some tough points. There are going to be difficulties. And we got it easy a bit with the Macron's relationship with Merkel and Olaf Scholz to this point. But I think that like with all the other predecessors, these two will come to an agreement, even if it comes through pressure through the parliamentary or the ministers or other actors, because these states understand the importance of European unity, of European cooperation, and this is something that has made the Franco-German couple so powerful and so influential. So I think we will see a resolution, but the problem is, how long will that take?
Yeah, that is the big question. Okay, thank you so much. We'll have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Peter Kleppe, Eva Heiderberger, and Julian Hose. We appreciate your time. Thank you for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, you can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is at AJ Inside Story. From myself and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching and bye-bye for now.